Blog Talk Radio.
Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
You're listening to eWater Radio, KEWR, DB.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show on eWater Radio, KEWR-DB, where I will feature the hottest topics in regards to nutrition, sports, fitness, and current events. All right, well, tonight we have an exciting lineup of financial experts and advisors who some are returning and some new actual financial advisors and experts are going to be here on the show. They're going to be sharing their knowledge about how we can become more financially healthy. Some of them joined us at the beginning of the year. We had a part one. This is going to be a part two. However, we're going to get deeper into it. So if you missed part one, I'm going to go ahead and post that on my social media, and you can go back and recap from the first one later. So first, as always, I'm going to share a couple quick shout-outs, and we're going to get right into it tonight. The first shout-outs go to Dr. Renee on an amazing show, the last show. Thank you for sharing your five secrets to keeping the fire and passion alive in healthy relationships. Always great to have you on my show. The work that you're doing is so very important. It's very, very important to have great relationships across the board with your friends, with your family, business partnerships. It just makes you healthier overall. Very, very important to maintain healthy relationships out there. So if you missed it, go back and listen in. You can always catch up with some of her tips on my blog and her website. Next shout out go to the birthdays out there this month. I'm only going to list a few. There's a lot of them. But Alma, happy birthday, girl. It's been a long time. I miss you. My nephew, Noah, I can't wait to see you in a few weeks. My nephew. Ole in Denmark, Tilike, oh boy, I'm really messing that one up. I see it all the time, how to say it, but speaking Danish is very difficult. Happy birthday, Ole. Mirna, happy birthday at the quarter note. Hope to see you out there soon. Also, my cousin Brooke out there in Hawaii, I hope you had that Mai Tai for me on your birthday last night, and you had a lot of fun. Also, all the birthdays out there that I missed, happy birthday, everyone. All right, well, now you may want to take a pad of paper and a pen out so you can take some notes, because we have some financial experts that are going to be dropping a wealth, ha-ha, ba-dum-bum-bum, of knowledge on tonight's show. We have several guests who are going to be covering a lot of ground. So we're going to go ahead and just kick this off. Normally, I wait 10 minutes in doing a billion shout outs. But you know what? We're going to get right into it, because these are experts that you don't want to miss. So we're going to hop right into it. Without further ado, I'm going to introduce our first guest. I see her calling in already. She's an advisor and financial professional with Pacific Advisors out of Beverly Hills, California. She's originally a small business owner from New York. She came into Southern California by way of Fort Myers, Florida, providing her with years of experience in the retirement capital of the country. Her practice primarily focuses on financial literacy, wealth building, and retirement maximization. Her special passion is teaching women of all ages to be a part of this process, protecting her clients, their families, and their businesses from the forces threatening their secure future. Her children are millennials and have inspired her to help that generation create a successful financial future for themselves. What she wants for all her clients is summed up in the Pacific Advisors mission statement, a good life for the rest of your life. All right. Without further ado, I'm going to introduce to you my friend and colleague, Miss Christine Lapidus. Are you there, Chris?
I am here and ready and waiting.
Nice. How are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It's a beautiful day in Southern California. How could you not be great?
Right? It is. It's really a gorgeous day out here. Only thing that I wish that was going on here while working remotely this week is our air conditioner. It's been down all week, and it has been hot. But, hey, tomorrow's going to be fixed.
I sympathize.
And it really gives us something to, like, be thankful for. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Whoa.
But it is already, it's summer. It is summer already, and we're ready for it. We're ready for it. Welcome you back. Yes, 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 indeed. I want to welcome you back, Chris. You were such a wealth of information the last show, and we just couldn't even possibly, we barely scratched the surface on the last show. So I was like, you know what? We've got to do a part two to this. So I'm so happy that you agreed to do that. I welcome you back, and we're excited to hear what you got to say tonight.
Well, thank you so much, Tammy. You know, talking about money is, you know, sometimes when people find out what it is that I do, you know, I could see this glazed look come over in their eyes. It's like, oh, no, she wants to talk about money. Oh, I'm embarrassed. I don't have any. How do I tell her? You know, and it's so interesting because the bottom line is once you accept the fact that things are going to be better when you talk about it, they really are. You know, the truth is out there that people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. And if you don't plan as far as your money is concerned, trust me, you're going to fail. So one thing I wanted to talk about today is budgeting and mistakes, you know, that people make in budgeting. You know, not all budgets are created equal. It's important that a budget be strictly applied to the way you live your life, the way you want to do things. And it's not up to me as a financial advisor, in essence, to say, well, you shouldn't spend money on that, you know, because the truth is if you put together a budget that becomes really stringent and doesn't give you the freedom or flexibility you want, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to stick to it. You're going to just say, well, heck with this. I can't do this. What do you mean I can't go to the movies? Or what do you mean I can't go out to dinner? So, you know, those are things that have to be included in your budget. And, you know, it's not a fun, easy thing to do, but sometimes, sometimes it's great to have, like, a set plan. So, you know, one thing that I suggest to my clients is, so you take the money that you've got, and you take 50% of it, and you budget it for essentials like your rent, food, electricity, telephone, 30% to things that you want, like eating out or fun, and most importantly, 20% to savings. 20% to savings. That is the number one rule of thumb, that we all should be saving 20% of our gross income. Because
oh my
I
goodness,
tell you,
I didn't know. Wow.
Yes, it's 20% of your gross income. And once you start to do that, you will be amazed. you will be amazed at how much money you can have saved by the time you retire. Because remember, that money will compound every year. But that's the important thing. The important thing is to have a plan. The other mistake that people make is that they don't budget in non-routine spending. So what do I mean by that? Birthday presents, housewarming gifts, toys for your pet. You know, you have to know how to set aside for, you know, annual splurges like holiday shopping. And people don't do that. So all of a sudden, you know, that time of year comes and those expenses come and they're like, oh, where's it going to come from? Oh, then all of a sudden, guess where it goes? On the credit card. So that in itself is, you know, a difficult thing because then you have to pay it back and interest rates are high. So that is something you need to do, is to have a miscellaneous in your budget. Another mistake people make is that there are shopping, I guess, websites that maybe have your credit card information. So it's easy for you to either go online, pick up the phone and order something and, oh, your credit card is there. But think of this. If you have to really go to your purse or go to your wallet, go to your pocket and pull out a credit card, it gives you those couple of minutes to stop and think and say, do I really need this? Do I really want it? And the answer might be yes, and that's okay, but at least you've given it some thought. So that, you know, that's something that you really need to take a look at as well. The other thing is, you know, you need to evaluate what you're spending. And don't spend money just because you do that all the time. You know, maybe you order takeout for lunch every day. There is nothing wrong with those kind of habits, but the great thing about a budget is that it brings awareness to how we spend. That's the important thing. You need to be aware of how you spend. The other thing is, one of the biggest challenges with budgeting is that when the initial excitement wears off, and trust me, it does, it can be hard to stick to your budget. So what I will sometimes do is recommend different savings accounts to my clients. So number one savings account that I constantly recommend and budget for is emergency savings. I'm going to tell you a very quick story. I had a client who came to me because he wanted to pay off all his credit card debt. He had a lot of credit card debt and it was strangling him. And I said to him, I said, well, how much emergency savings do you have? And he said, none. I said, well, that's not going to work. You really need to pay off debt and save at the same time. It's important to do both. And he argued with me and said, no, I want to pay off this credit card debt. So again, you know, the final choice is always the client. You know, they have, the decision is theirs. I can just guide and I can just recommend. So about 3 months into COVID, he called me up, very upset. Why? He lost his job, had not a penny saved, had paid off his credit card debt, but had no money saved. So what could he do? The only option he had at the time was to cash in his 401k. And he was 32 years old. All of the time and effort that he put to, you know, saving money for retirement was gone because he didn't have emergency savings. You know, so there are tons of things that you save for, and you can start little accounts for them. Like, I don't know, let's say you want to save for a child's education. You know, call it Jackson's Debt-Free College Education. Let's say you want to take a trip to Egypt. have another account that says trip to Egypt 2022. And when you see those accounts, it motivates you. It really motivates you to save and to do something about it, to put the money there. Another big problem that people come to me with are student loans. And I know that the average that graduates have with student loans is about $25,000. And again, people in the medical profession, trust me, have a lot more. What you need to do is to find out about refinancing your student loans. You know, it never hurts to ask. You know, it's the same thing, you know, when you have even credit card debt. Call the credit card company and ask them, you know, can you lower my interest rate? Is there something you can do? Call your telephone company and say, you know, I understand that people now that have service with you are paying less than I am. You know, I'll take my business elsewhere if you don't do something. And you'll find that, you know, the companies out there don't want to lose your business, but you are the one that has to be proactive. You're the one that has to take a look at it and say, gee, I might be paying too much for this. You know, one of the big things that people come to me with when we go over budgeting and stuff is when I get to the question of, how much do you spend going out to eat? And I could see they turn red in the face, they stammer, they're embarrassed. And most of the time, they don't even know how much it is. And usually the first figure they give me is much lower than what they actually spend. You know, and I tell them, I said, my goal is not to have you not go out to dinner, but I said, you came to me with specific goals about your money. You want to save money to buy a house. Let's use that as an example. So then all of a sudden, you have this meal that you're going to order in something. So the question you have to ask yourself is, for today, what's more important to me, saving to get that house that I want or ordering in that meal instead of making it myself? It's your choice. The truth is, reaching your goals is really all in your control. It is in your hands. You're the one that has to make the decision, number one, to set up a budget. Do it realistically, you know, and understand that there will be times when you're going to be outside of your budget, but then you need to go right back because you need to keep in the forefront of your mind, what are the goals that I want? I want that house, or I want to take that vacation trip with my friends. And if I spend all of this money on going out to eat, or whatever, I'm not going to get there. I once had a client tell me that as we were going through the budgeting, she said, I'm embarrassed to tell you, but I said, spend $500 a month on Starbucks. I said, I said, okay. I said, are you willing to do something about that? She said, nope, that's really important to me. I said, great. If it's that important to you, then look through your budget and tell me where else money can come from to take this trip that you want. She said, well, I don't know. I'm going to have to go through the figures and take a look. We worked again the next week, and she said to me, okay, I cut my Starbucks budget back to $200 because I really want to go on that trip. So it's important to understand that budgeting will make your life so much easier. It's not a chore. It's not a hassle. The bottom line is budgeting is going to give you what it is that you want. It's going to let you achieve the goals that you have set in your mind. You can achieve them by budgeting and doing it in a way where you don't cut yourself off from everything that you want to do. Because like I said, if you do that, then you're never, ever, ever going to sit, you know, you're never going to stick to it. You know, things to take a look at are, you know, all of the subscriptions we have, Spotify, Netflix, Hulu. Again, look at those, and instead of just paying them every month, you know, do I really use it? Is it something, you know, that I really have to spend the money on, or does that trip mean more important? Is that trip more important to me? The other big one I get is people eating lunch out a lot. And I say, you know what? Sometimes you have to choose. Maybe you have to choose between eating dinner out or eating lunch out. And again, it doesn't mean then all of a sudden you have to bring your lunch 5 days a week. Start with bringing your lunch once a week. You know, I tell people, if you're not saving every week, start with $5. Start with $5. Get yourself into the habit. It's a question of changing your mindset. Changing your mindset, you know, of, okay, I can put aside $5 every week. And then all of a sudden you see, oh, well, then, you know, maybe I can put aside $10. And maybe that lunch that you bring in and don't go out for, maybe that's $15. And all of a sudden that's saved. And, gee, and that goes into my trip for 2022 budget. And all of a sudden you find that you are putting money where you really want it to be. And that's really the key. You know, budgeting, like I said, when I talk about it, people frown. They go, oh, God, I can't stick to a budget. You know, it's like people say rules are meant to be broken. Budgeting is not something that you can't change and adjust. You know, there are budgeting apps that will let you know when you are getting close to what your budget is for something. Let's say, for example, you budget $300 a month for going out to eat. In that app, you can put that in, and let's say it's the 20th of the month, and you've already spent $250. So basically, there are 10 days, 11 days left to the month, and all you have is $50. And you will get a notification that, up, you only have $50. And if you have a dinner planned or a couple of dinners that you know are going to bring you over that budget, then maybe you need to readjust money from somewhere else so that you still stick to the total amount that you have budgeted for yourself for the month. Does all of that make
that
sense? I
lot.
Hope it does.
No,
I hope
it does.
It does.
It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense, but I had no idea. Biggest aha moment for me with what you said is 20%. I didn't realize that's kind of the going rate on, you know, being
you
aggressive
know,
towards your
it,
retirement.
And it, yes, it is. And, you know, and really, really wanting to save. So I always, you know, tell someone that hasn't been saving very much, I say, you know, start with 10%. You know, I'm smart enough to know that people will find it difficult to go from 0 to 20% sometimes. So start with 10%. You know, and once you get into the habit of 10%, you know, then you can slowly bring yourself up to 12%, 15%, and then get yourself to the 20%. You know, another thing to look at, too, is something like car insurance. When was the last time you priced out your car insurance? Again, that's the bill that you pay every month. It's automatically paid. And, you know, sometimes you need to take a look at everything that you're paying automatically and say, oh, you know, I haven't really looked at this in a long time, and there are all these apps that I see and things on TV about, you know, car insurance or homeowners insurance. Maybe I should look into it. You know, maybe it won't be different, but again, you don't know unless you give it a try. There are, you know, there are so many things that you can do to really change your situation. You know, think about why is it that you work in the first place? Why is it that we all work? You know, we all work to make money, to be able to pay our bills, to make our lives better. And, you know, in making our lives better, there are things that we want to do. And sometimes, you know, there are things that are not negotiable. I'm going to tell you another story about a non-negotiable spending by one of my clients. We went through her budget. She wanted to save money, and we got to going out to eat, and she said, oh, we spend $1,200 a month. And again, you know, I don't react. It is you're spending what you're spending. And as we went through the budget and finished, I said to her, so where do you think you might be able to save money? And she looked at me and she said, I know you're going to tell me that I should, you know, take a look at what I spend going out to eat. But she said, I'm going to tell you right now, that number is not negotiable. So I said, okay. I said, do you mind telling me why it's not negotiable? And she said, I have an 18-month-old. My husband is the stay-at-home dad. So he's home every day with an 18-month-old. And when I get home from work, he has to get out and we all go out to dinner. So she said, for the sanity of my family and my husband, our going out to eat budget is not negotiable. And, you know, I respect not negotiable. If somebody tells me that, you know, something they have in their budget is not negotiable, that's fine. And if we have to find money for something else, then it's up to that person to find out where is it going to come from where it might be negotiable. You know, things in life are negotiable, maybe not everything, but, you know, we work really, really hard, and it's important for us to not just think about today, but to think about tomorrow. And again, it's not all or nothing in this world. You know, it could be that you cut back a little bit, or that if you take a big trip this year and then next year you say, maybe I'll take a couple of small trips. The bottom line to all of this is you have to plan, 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 budget. Because I'm telling you, if you do that, you will be a much happier person. You really will, because when you spend the money that you want to spend, it will be because you know that you planned for it, and all of a sudden, there's no stress or anxiety or guilt because, oh, well, that's in my budget. You know, I budgeted for going to the movies, or I budgeted to buy, you know, that item, whatever it is. And so it is all in your control. So there you have to do a mind shift and take a look at the word budgeting. And you know what? Very often I'll use the term cash flow. Because it, you know, it doesn't have that same negative feeling sometimes that people get with budgeting. So, you know, I tell my clients, I said, we have to work on a cash flow summary. They go, oh, well, what's that? So I said, well, we're going to see how much money comes in every month and how much money goes out. That's cash flow, in and out, in and out.
Yeah, so, and I think that's important because, you know, not everybody's comfortable talking about money, and I think just finding that, you know, terminology, it does maybe calm one's, you know, mind down about how they view it. And I think cash flow may be a good way of saying it because it is true. It's money coming in, it's money going out. That's life. That's being responsible, having a job, having income coming in, and spending money on the things that you need to spend it on. But I think absolutely, budgeting and being mindful of the things, you know, where your money goes is key. And I really appreciate you taking the time again to be on my show. I have our next guest coming in, but it's always a pleasure talking to you. I feel like I always learn something from you every time I hear you speak.
Oh.
It's, you know, presentations, you know, and on my show, it's just a joy to know you and call you my friend. You are such an amazing person, and I really appreciate you. You're just so natural too on air. You need your own podcast, lady. You really do. I'm serious. Like, you're so easy
well,
to
you know,
listen to.
I love,
you know,
I love what I do, so I love to talk about it and help people. So thank you very much for those kind words, Tammy. You're amazing.
Thank you so much. But before I let you go, I want you to tell our listeners how they could reach you should they want more advice on how they can budget and put their money
okay.
into things that will grow. How can they find you?
All right. So get your paper and pencils ready. You can call me at 818-920-8395. Again, that number is 818-920-8395. Or you can email me at Christine, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, _ Lapidus, L as in Larry, A, P as in Peter, I, D as in David, U, S as in Sam, @ PacificAdvisors.com. Christine_Lapidus @ PacificAdvisors.com. I hope to hear from some of you. It'll change your life.
Awesome. Thank you so much again, Chris. And I'm going to post your information after the show. I'm going to post everybody's information on Friday, tomorrow, on how they can contact you on my social media. So if you guys didn't get that information, make sure you look on my social media, which I'll talk about at the end of the show. Thank you so much again, Chris, and I'll be talking to you
soon.
Thank
you for having me. Thank you for having me, Tammy. Have a good rest of the show.
Absolutely. You too. Thank you. All right, you guys, there you have it. So amazing budgeting tips by Chris Lapidus. Definitely want you to we all got to be more mindful of this, right? Especially with, you know, COVID. Who planned for COVID? Who planned for all these things that happen? And having an emergency fund, I think that was another great tip that you shared. I want to, this is an awesome way to kick off the show. I'm very excited, too, to also introduce a wonderful friend of mine who is a financial intelligence expert. She is passionately committed to guiding women to achieve financial peace of mind. That includes transforming money conversations and release the money confusion, expand financial knowledge, build confidence regarding money and wealth. Mama Rita, she's a proven professional who is leading the movement to ride your financial intelligence and scale to financial freedom. She educates and empowers women to achieve financial independence by getting core issues on how women relate to money, along with teaching practical strategies. I am so excited to introduce to you my friend Rita, or Mama Rita Money. She leads free Wine, Women, and Wealth events and Money 101 educational workshops, which I love attending, and I can't wait to do this in person when things open up. She's also the CEO of Flourish Incorporated and partnered with Five Rings Financial. It is my honor and privilege to introduce to you my friend. Boy, that's a mouthful. Rita Bacuzzi, are you on the line? You are live.
I am on the line. And, Tammy, it is actually my honor to be here. I couldn't be more happy to be able to be part of such an amazing event that you're holding. And I so love this because you give the opportunity for people to connect with different professionals in the same arena so that they can get connected, so that they can raise up, they can level up. And your empowerment of them is phenomenal. And I love that you have fun with it. That's one of the keys, right? Because if we're not having
Thank
fun
you.
And we're not enjoying our life, then what are we doing? What are we doing?
Absolutely.
What's it all for?
That's right.
So definitely,
I got to address something really quick. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I got to address something real quick before you get started. I understand you had a recent birthday. Is that correct?
On April 22nd, yes, about a week ago. Thank you.
Well, I want to say happy birthday, my friend. Did you do anything special to celebrate your birthday?
Just with family. We just went out. Actually, I decided, remember I talked about fun. Life is about fun. And we can do things that are free and fun. And with COVID and everything, we decided to go to a park, just our family, our unit, and just to be outside, because my vision was I wanted to be outside. I wanted to be like I was 5 years old. If I wanted to do a cartwheel, I could. We played bocce ball. We, you know, went around a track and walked on beams and, you know, picked up leaves and just sat, laid under a tree. That's the beauty of life. That is wealth, right? Just getting into to enjoy our breath, our family, and who we are in whatever space and place we are, just seeing the good in it.
I love that.
So
that is so special. You know what? We celebrate in different ways, right? You know, through this COVID, but, you know, being with family and being with the people that you love and care about, that just being surrounded by love and being outdoors and just appreciating life and every breath of it is most important, because we take things for granted so much. So that's really cool. That's special. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. That's awesome. And happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Yep, I love family, nature, and fun, right?
Right.
You know, and
absolutely.
That's me. You know, wealth is about, it encompasses all of that. And when I like to educate people around money, I like to talk about the five pillars to flourish on your highway to prosperity, because we get to engage with this. Now, if we change our perspectives, right, we can learn the technicalities around money. We can learn that money straight talk, how to be smart with money. But if we're not ready to receive it, if we're not aligned with our core values, then what is the path we're really on? And so I like to teach with fun words and sometimes alliterations, so you'll hear that in my speak. I am going to have you talk to you about the five E's, excellence with your five finances. And this is about creating, accelerating that money relationship, raising your financial intelligence. Now, first of all, financial intelligence has nothing to do with IQ. There are smart people who do not do well with their money, and there are smart money people. And we all get to be smart money people in the process of learning how it really works. Financial intelligence is a state of being, just much like confidence, right? And basically we get to lean in to learning, to listening, learning, and then leverage what we've learned. It's kind of like confidence, right? If we want to build our confidence, we get out there and we hang out with people or watch people, maybe watch them at first. We might not even want to get close at first. How do they get to show up and be confident? What traits can we take on ourselves so that we can transition and transform? So it's just like that confidence, super simple. So explore that. Explore what that means for you, right? So this way you can ease into that excellence. One of the ways that I find my clients do it best is learning what their core values are. If you think of a compass, you know, there's the dial in the center, there's the north, south, east, and west. Well, I look at my five top core values as a core value compass. At the heart and center of it is love, right? That's my anchor. That's my director. What do I love doing? How do I want to live my life? What's alignment with what I love? My true north is wisdom, the education, because as we learn, smart money people are lifelong learners. They love learning. They know that if you're not learning, you're not growing. And we all get to grow. No matter how smart we are in our prospective fields, we all get to learn something new that people share, a different perspective, a new way of looking at it. So that exploration, that's your number one E, is super, super important. It's, guess what? Being curious like a kid. It's having that awareness. And I also teach it like this. When mamas, and I focus on mamas because of the nurturing nature that they have and how much they share and how often we have the biggest ripple effect. And the fact that women have not been as educated as men historically, and we're getting caught up and we do money really amazingly because we love learning. And I'm going to say we're a little bit different in our relationships than men, not bad or good, just different. When somebody gets lost and you're two people in a car, a guy and a gal, right? And I'll speak to my husband and I, may not be everybody. But my husband will not ask directions. Now, we have GPSs now. He actually won't even listen to that sometimes because he can figure it out. But women tend to listen to these directions more, so these cue in. By the way, there are going to be things that we women can learn from men. So we get to learn from each other. But when we embrace learning, we acknowledge it, right? We start having conversations. The conversations build our confidence because the languaging becomes more familiar. I call that vibrational familiarity. And I know because I brought my children through courses when they were 12 and 17 through these courses to learn around money. And they were the only kids. No parents brought their kids. I didn't know why. But they didn't. They didn't think that they could. And they didn't do one thing. They didn't ask to do so. My whole goal was to enable a superpower called time bending, right? If my children could learn what I didn't learn at their age, their lives, I know, would be forever different. And it's just like when you read to a baby in the womb, you're creating comfort, vibrational familiarity. They don't have to know the words. They just have to get comfortable with the concepts and the language, like anytime we go to someplace new and we get to learn the language. So the second one is embracing learning key money principles, things like how does our money grow, you know, compound interest. Chris talked about time value of money, maybe socking away $5 a day, right, to grow over time. And the earlier we start, the better it is. And then there are other principles. This is actually the last one in the saving, the top three, compound interest, time value of money, taxable and non-taxable money. This one is one of my favorites because while I love our country, there's an uncle that's not my favorite uncle that I don't want to pay excessive taxes to. And when we learn these principles and concepts that have been around for all ages, we are empowered. So we get to save our money. And then we move to protecting our money. We learn about money accounts where money can grow passively on the upside of the market but never lose. Why is that important? Well, we never have to make up for loss. And then maybe we get older and we set our accounts up right and we have these big piles of money and we're ready to receive them. Well, do we want to receive them at a higher percentage amount than Uncle Sam? This is called distribution. So we just have to understand the languaging and what it means and how it's relevant to us. My last one, which is really my favorite in protecting, is living benefits. This is if you have a life health event. And for those of you that know me, I've lived through this. You know, it's going to be 11 years. I always like to call it early, of being in remission. Wow. I do not believe any family should go through cancer or heart attacks or strokes. And if you thought of somebody during this time, right, during this time frame, some people got cancer and COVID. The reality of the deaths, all these things, these realities. But when we go back to what if we live and survive, what's going to happen to the rest of our assets or what we worked hard for, our home, our bank's accounts, our retirement accounts? Well, what if we didn't have to tap into them? We created a resource where we could access a big pile of money. I have a young client who started her accounts because her mama taught her so at 26. She structured them beautifully. And at 27, she was diagnosed with cancer. She got to use that money, and a big pile of money was dropped into her account the day before her chemo treatment. Her comment to me was, thank you. I can go through my treatment knowing that I will succeed because I don't have to worry about this extra stress, right? So no families deserve financial counselors. So these are very important key learning principles. And you get to build your relationship around them really strong because as you learn, you become more confident and you know how to apply them. So that's embracing learning your key money principles. Number three is expand your knowledge around financial literacy, increasing your opportunities to make, grow, and keep your money, getting to those money goals that you want. And so I actually created a money boot camp that I launched recently. It's a money education movement boot camp so that people can master their mindset through their personal economy and master their money skill set combined. Because one of the things that I found is if you don't have the right mindset in place aligned with your core values, you do not generally achieve your goals. Something goes sideways. So expand your knowledge, number three. Number four is engage in creating your financial vision plan. Well, when you do that vision plan, you get to start with what I call a financial positioning criteria. There's always a criteria to the plan. So if you don't create your criteria, somebody else will use theirs to decide your plan for you. So it's learning about the top questions you should be asking yourself ever before you get in front of a financial professional. That actually helps the financial professional because you are anchored in your clarity and you never sway from your core values or your criteria because it's what you're in alignment with. And when somebody, it doesn't match, then you just say, this doesn't match my core values and my criteria. Thank you very much. It's a revolutionary new model and way of learning. And then you get to mind map your way to success to close the financial gaps, right? And when you see that map and you have marked, you get to transition to transformation in your way with your intentions, managing your expectations. What do you need to contribute? Who do you need to connect with and then collaborate with? Becomes very, very clear. And that is through engagement. And in that process, you want to have the best attitude, the most confident attitude, because you know what you're doing. It's clear. And so that's engagement. And then the last one is elevate. Elevate by being excited, by celebrating your wins, your joys, your completion to your financial freedom lifestyle to flourish. And you get to bring others along with you. You know, you get to ask right now, what's your single greatest challenge that you're facing around money? What is it? Ask yourself, what's the cost of doing nothing? What does that look like if you do nothing? Are you going to be in the same place you were 5 years ago, yet again, for the third time in a row? And who suffers besides you when you don't ask and learn around your money? So
your family,
taking
right?
those steps, it's different for everybody. Sometimes it's, right, it is your family generally. It could be your community mm-hmm. because you are not stepping up in leadership of your money. We were all born to master our money. We were never born for it to master us. And we get mm-hmm. to do this. We get to have fun and learn and know the questions and feel confident and really be free to enjoy our lives. That's really what it is all about, is freedom, enjoyment, and choices. Reliable resources, you know, like college freedom plans. How many people know that they can get out, be freed from their college debt? Many people can do that. I know I've been able to do that for even my own son. Right? So they were able to save up to buy a house because they were able to save so much money. And it was in alignment with what they wanted to do. And so on and so forth. There are so many stories. I'm going to finish with my last three goals because in my money education movement, really it is to educate, facilitate the education of 1 million families in the next 10 years so that they can be anchored in a way that they have a financial shield of armor on their side. We get to cut the bankruptcy rate due to medical-related issues in half. Right now, it's at about 60 to 63% of all bankruptcies every year are due to medical-related issues. Number two, the other one is the divorce rate. By the seventh year, the divorce rate goes up to somewhere between 60 and 67%, depending which articles you look at. That is too high, because all it's about is your communication around money and that money relationship that you have, because it's two households coming together with two perspectives and getting them aligned with their common core values. And I love what I do, because I love seeing people get educated, raising their financial intelligence, and learning everything they should have learned from kinder to college and mastering it in less than 24 hours. And it's just a beautiful thing to see people flourish each and every day and be clear and have that accountability and sustain a financially free lifestyle.
Wow. You do beautiful work, Rita. I just got to say, you know, the meetings that I've been to quite a few of them, Women, Wine, and Wealth Nights. I always learn something from everything that you teach. And these are things that, principles that we're not taught in school. So you have to be excited and willing to learn by joining classes. And most people pay tons of money. I know you were doing that at first. You were paying a lot of money to get these classes. And now you're teaching them for free, which is crazy because so many people pay to get that knowledge. And you're doing constant educational courses online, you know, now. Probably will be in person soon, I really hope. I can't wait to go to another. Yeah. But I really commend you for that because you taught me things that no one's ever taught me before. And it's like, wow, how could I be in my 30s? I mean, well, okay. My 40s, I'm not ashamed. I got a birthday coming up. But how can I, you know, be in this day and age and not know all of these things? Well, these are things that we're not taught in school. So we're happy to hear professionals like yourself be willing to teach us things for free and then decide, you know, what's for us, which I think is commendable. So I thank you for that. And I want to ask you one last thing. How can people contact you if they have more information about the things that you shared or, you know, just more information to connect with you?
So the best way is to reach me. I also give out my cell, which is 818-276-5375. But if you already know that you want to take the next steps and you want to move forward, go to my website called MamaRitaMoney.com, and I'm going to spell it out because I'm an Italian mama, so we emphasize things. And mama is MamaRitaMoney.com. And that's the best way. And you can, you know, for your guests tonight, they can, you know, they can pick a 30-minute or a 50-minute free consultation so that they can get an, ask me whatever questions, do a complimentary discovery call with me and see what direction that they want to go and how do they want to start leading their money so that they can lead their lives the way they want.
I love that. That's awesome. Thank you for throwing that in there. I'm going to actually put that, you know, out there to the folks that listen tonight. Make sure you take advantage of that 30 to 50 minute session of, you know, evaluating your goals and your financial goals and just being educated. I've learned so much from you. You've been such a wealth of knowledge just over the years, and I really appreciate your friendship and partnership and, you know, in business and just you're an amazing person, and I miss you. Can't wait to see you in person. hopefully have you, yeah, you know, and have you back on another time because I want to do this annually. I think having a financial health show annually is really important, and I think it's actually really good that we do it at the beginning of the year because, you know, what better time to kind of reevaluate our goals because things change, right, over time.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much, Mama Rita. We will be talking to you. I'll be talking to you soon. You take care and
you too.
And stay healthy, you and your family.
You too, Sam.
Thank
Tammy.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. This is just, we're off to such a great start. Oh, my gosh. So much more to even talk about, which is crazy. We've already covered, you guys probably must be on page 5 of your notes with all the things that you're learning tonight. I'm excited to have a retired U.S. diplomat who now works as an advice-only certified financial planner. Now he helps his clients to identify their financial goals, mapping out strategies to achieve those goals, and implementing strategies. He works exclusively for his clients, not for Wall Street, which is a big deal, right? It's my honor and privilege to introduce to you my friend and colleague, Mr. Evan Press. You are live on the air. How you doing tonight?
Thank you, Tammy. I'm doing fine, and it's been interesting so far. I feel a little funny because I'm going to be the downer person at the end. We're talking about debt management and rebuilding your credit score. Unfortunately, an awful lot of this, an awful lot of us are facing this and are overwhelmed. I'm going to hopefully give you some tools and some ideas to get a handle on debt and rebuilding your credit score. So first of all, let me start with a couple of basic financial math concepts. People have mentioned the time value of money. This is just the idea that money today is worth more than money in the future. And to even out this difference, you pay or you earn interest. And with compound interest, what happens is interest is calculated on the initial principal, what you borrow, let's say, or what you charge on your credit card, and then on the interest that accumulates, or hopefully if you're saving, you're earning that interest on interest. So what you would find is, let's say you invest $100 at 5% interest, and you begin to earn interest on interest. So the first year, you earn $5 on that $100. The second year, you earn 5% on 105. So instead of just 110, you have $110.25. The third year, you're up to $115.76, which doesn't sound like much. After 10 years, you have $163, or you owe that much more. So you need to understand this idea of compound interest, where you're paying interest on interest. Credit card companies love this, but you can turn it around by saving early, and the earlier you start, the longer you invest, the more you're going to have. So if you can start at 25 instead of 35, you're going to have significantly more money, even though you invested the same amount. Inflation works the same way. This is just where the general level of prices for goods and services is rising. What I'd say the biggest shock to me was a year ago at this time, with the pandemic lockdown just beginning, gas fell to about $3 a gallon, and today it's over $4. So that's a hefty inflation. What it means is your dollar buys less, and that really hurts. So let's turn to credit cards, and I would say handle with care. Credit cards can be a great convenience, or they can ruin your financial life. And in fact, banks have done studies that show that people spend more when we charge our credit cards than when we pay cash. So they want us to use our credit cards as much as possible. And they have very high compound interest rates. So looking at a credit card statement from a few years ago, I'll give you an example. So if you owe your credit card company $4,472.70, I took this off of an actual credit card statement, and you make the minimum payment of just $44, it will take you 17 years to pay what you owe, and you will pay twice that $4,000. You'll pay a total of $8,969 instead of $4,472.
Wow.
If, however, you raise that to $153 a month, you'd pay it off in 3 years, and you'd pay $5,500. So you'd pay about $1,000 for the use of their money, not $4,000. So this is really what ruins people, these interest rates. And they say, oh, I'm just going to pay the minimum. Well, you're going to pay the minimum till your kids are out of high school. This is just really, really dangerous for people. And I don't think they realize it because they go, oh, I'm paying my bills every month. So what would be the key to successful saving or investing? Let's flip it onto the positive side. And this also goes for paying bills. I would say start young for saving. If you save $100 a month at age, starting when you're 25 and you earn that 5%, which is conservative, when you're 65 years old, you would have over $150,000. And that's just with $100 a month. And presumably, as your career progresses, you'll be able to save more. If you wait until you're 35 and you save that same $100 a month, earning the same 5%, when you're 65, you're going to have about $83,000, a little bit more than half. So time is really important. If you start early, even if it's just, as Chris was saying, $10 a period, $10 a paycheck, the important thing is the discipline, the habit of saving. So let me look at debt management. Let's say, you know, you were young and foolish and you did foolish things when you were young and foolish, and you find yourself in a credit card hole. Now, what do you do when you find yourself in a hole? You stop digging. One thing that sounds a little crazy, but I think it would work, is you take your credit cards, you put them in a plastic bag, and you put them in the freezer. You're literally freezing your credit. Again, you want to make it so that you have to think before you spend, which is the exact opposite of what the banks want. The next thing I would suggest, and I'm going to get into some real practical issues here. First of all, I would take out a notepad, a 3x5 card, whatever, a Word document, whatever you want, whatever you feel comfortable with, a legal pad. You want to do the following. You want to write down who you owe. So you might put down, I owe Visa or MasterCard. How much do I owe? What's the interest rate? And what's the monthly minimum? And you do this for your various debts. And this will give you a visualization. Now, you'll look at this and you'll understand it a lot better, and you'll be able to compare the different debts you have. So then you're going to say, well, which do I pay first? Do I start paying down the biggest one? Do I pay the one with the highest interest rate? Before you decide that, you want to make sure you're making your minimum payments on every account. From there, I've looked at this both ways. You can pay the account with the highest interest rate, or you can pay from the smallest to the largest. From the highest interest rate, that makes more sense in a strictly financial way of thinking. However, we're emotional people. Humans are very emotional, and I think it may make more sense to pay the smallest one to the largest. You pay off the small one, you get that really good feeling of, hey, I did this. Now I'm on to the next one. You get that positive reinforcement. As you pay off your account, you use that amount of money to get to the next one. And you make it very mechanical. Chris was talking about a budget. I make paying off the credit cards, the loans, a line item in my budget. Just like I might put in, okay, my rent is $1,000 and my car insurance is $100 and my loan, I'm going to put in $100 a month. You just make it a line item like everything else. It takes some of the emotion out. It makes it easier to handle And you can also begin to see that there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Totally agree.
What are the real secrets? It's to have a realistic plan. So when you're doing that budget, you go, wow, if I could pay $500 a month, I can pay this off in a year. But that's not realistic. You can't afford to pay that much. So you make it something that you can actually do every month. Maybe you can pay $200 a month. You're better off paying $200 a month every month than $500 one month and $25 the next and $75 the next and $400. The other thing is you want to monitor your progress. And again, you can use a simple spreadsheet, whatever, so you're getting some positive feedback and you can see that you're making progress. So the key again is discipline. You make a plan that you can stick to. And discipline is more important to financial success than brains. Let me repeat that. Discipline is more important to financial success than brains. And I think that Chris and Rita, this is a lot of what they want to teach you. And it's right on spot. You don't have to have an MBA or a PhD in finance or anything like that. There are a lot of those people who spend more than they earn and are in big trouble. Years ago, I had two clients who had done probably as well as anybody that I knew in terms of saving, and they owned their own house. They were saving money. I think they had a rental unit. He hung sheetrock. And she worked as an administrative assistant. They weren't doctors or lawyers or anything else, but they had that discipline, and that made all the difference in the world. One idea you might try is what Weight Watchers or AA does. You have a trusted friend, a spouse, a relative, a financial professional to keep you honest. Say, here's my plan, and I'm going to try and stick to it. And when I get tempted, if I go into Best Buy to buy a $10 cable and I'm being tempted by a new phone, can I call you and you'll talk me back down?
Yeah.
So to give you some idea, rebuilding your credit score. And there are some tricks to this. You want to hit 720 is your goal. That's excellent credit. It goes to about 820, I think it is. But if you can get into the 700s, you'll actually save money when you go to buy a car or a house or something like that. They'll give you a lower interest rate. So it's not easy and it's not quick, but it is doable. If you have a bankruptcy, that can linger on your credit report for up to 10 years. But your score can begin to recover as soon as you add positive credit information. So even though it shows a bankruptcy, which is like the worst thing, you can begin to rebuild things. Again, you want to build a realistic plan. So you know what you're doing every month and you don't have to think about it. You go, okay, this month I send $50 to Visa. Next month I send $50 to Visa. The month after that I send $50 to Visa. So you don't have to decide every time. It's automatic. One thing you might want to do is go to annualcreditreport.com. That's all one run together, annualcreditreport.com, and you get a free copy of your credit report from the three credit bureaus. You want to look at that for accuracy. They're notorious for making mistakes, for mixing up names, especially if you have a common name. I mean, if you're Mary Jones or, you know, Juan Jose Garcia, whatever it might be, there may be thousands of them, and they're not that careful, and you may have something on your credit report from somebody who bought a TV in Tennessee and never paid for it, and you've never been to Tennessee in your life. If you find an error, yes?
I want to know, and then definitely please get back to that because that's really important. If you go to annualcreditreport.com, does it hurt your credit to check your credit?
No, no, you're entitled to a free copy. I could talk for an hour and a half on credit. It's terrible and it's confusing and I think it's deliberate. If you're inquiring about a car loan or a house loan, you know, once is not bad. If you're trying to open credit cards and you've opened three or four in 2 months, that might hurt you.
Right.
Yeah. So after you look at your credit reports, if you find a mistake, you have to dispute it in writing. So they don't make it easy. You can't just send them, you know, give them a call and say, hey, you made a mistake. You have to send it to them in writing, and you might have to, you know, send it again. So make a copy and send it to them. Go onto the website and they'll have instructions. And you can always call them for help. Some of the people are very helpful. Other people aren't. So if you call and you don't get much help, call back the next night and maybe you get somebody else.
Absolutely. And I think that's on anything. You know, if you call somebody and you get bad customer service, you definitely want to call. Again, I've done it so many times. Okay, well, thank you for your time. And I hang up and then I call the next person and they're able to answer things immediately. But I, unfortunately, Evan, we're running out of time. So I want to thank you so much, though, for being on my show tonight. I have two more guests that I'm bringing on. Love to have you back on again. We do another financial show because you're such – I mean, it's so cool because so many different avenues throughout the show already, and everyone's kind of piggybacking off of the next, and really there's so much more even with that. But you really touched on a lot of great things tonight, debt management and just and be able to rebuild your credit. I mean, those are – you know, I literally just did that. I just paid, I was so victorious. I paid off a college loan last year. This year, I paid off a huge credit card. Thank you. And I did exactly what you said. I used that as a line item. Literally, I used my credit cards as line items, and I paid off the small one first. And then I did a balance transfer, though, and I paid hefty payments on that one, and I was able to achieve it. I couldn't believe it. A huge credit card debt. I paid it off in a year. And it just feels so victorious to do that. So what you're saying is right on target, right on point. I thank you so much for being on the show. I just want you to ask you one more question. How can people get in touch with you if they have more questions about this specific thing and any financial needs, but debt management, building credit? How can they get in contact with you?
Okay. You can give me a call, 818-613-0869. 818-613-0869 or evanlpress@gmail.com. That's E-V-A-N-L as in Larry, P as in Paul, R-E-S-S, @gmail.com. And I would be happy to share this PowerPoint if you want to look at this to review it. Send me an email, give me a call, and I'd be happy to send it to you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the
show
tonight. Look forward to seeing you again in person at one of our networking meetings soon. Jeez, like in person. Anyways, take care and thank you again for being on the show. Stay healthy, my friend, and we'll be talking soon.
Thank you for inviting me. Have a good evening.
Absolutely. You too. Well, we are really rocking and rolling tonight. So much knowledge is being dropped on everybody tonight. I want to introduce another friend of mine who was on our last show, who's an experienced financial professional driven by his words that his father told him while growing up, saying, you know, son, the blessings derived in life come from reaching out your hands and helping your fellow man. And that's exactly what he does. He has a burning desire to provide information to assist families in their present and future financial portfolios. Codemer, you are live on air. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
Very nice, Tammy. Thank you for inviting me onto your program. I am very pleased that I'm able to participate. You're one of my favorite individuals. We've known each other for quite a few years, and it's nice that you've really stepped up into this endeavor. You're just a natural. It's great.
Thank you. You're awesome. I really appreciate you taking the time to be, you know, on the show again tonight. You you always have so much to bring to the table. Every time that you've, you know, been on my show as a guest or just appeared on the show, you and you have a fun way of doing it. You always have a funny way of making me laugh. So I appreciate that about you, my friend.
Well, you know, it's so easy to do so because of the way that you handle the program and so forth. The other panelists were great. And I'm sure that all of us agree that the information that we're providing your listening audience is so very essential to everyone's financial well-being in different endeavors. I will be presenting mm-hmm. additional information than I did previously. Do you want me just to start in or
absolutely. Please recap on. Let's recap on some things that you talked about before and get right into it. Go for it.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. Well, basically, it's my sincere desire that after my presentation, everyone will take a closer look over their individual and family financial health. This is something that's way overlooked. All the panelists said the same thing, so I'm just kind of reiterating a little bit. I hope and pray that everyone takes the time to analyze whether they have in place right now enough money and protection for their family in the future. Anyways, on part one, I discussed a couple things. I indicated to everybody that it is very important that they should have what they call a living trust. And that would include a will, power of attorney for financial, power of attorney for medical, and a DNR, which is a do not resuscitate. Then I also stress that it's important for everybody to consider having what they call a F, that's F like in Frank, but it's financial needs analysis. We use FNA, which takes into account the consideration of all your assets, all your liabilities, your significant others, and you have an idea of where you're at right now. Then you've got to jump into the future. You've got to add on how many years it's going to be until you're ready to retire. And at that time, you want to have what they call a financial independent number. It's a financial number that is determined, there's a calculation to do it, that you need to have to live okay, and the dividends that you get from your money pays for your lifestyle. Most people underestimate this figure, which I mentioned previously. I'm not going to go into how much it is, but if everybody knows how bad inflation is now, as a good example, and some of the panelists did mention it, but in 1972, I sold gasoline at a gas station for 39 cents a gallon, and I made 9 cents. We don't even need to talk about what it is now. So inflation is going to take a bite out of everybody, so we've got to plan accordingly. In part two of the program, I wanted to discuss a few other critical things in preparing for a successful family protection plan. Think of your plan like seatbelts in your car that will protect everyone in the vehicle. Financially, you're protecting everybody in your family, and sometimes you share those ideas with your extended family or your friends. So you're really influencing a lot of people when you move in that direction. Everyone should be aware of the 6 specific areas related to a good protection plan. Now, some of your panelists did mention them. I'm just going to go over them very quickly. One's cash flow, one's debt management. We discussed those. A protection plan, assets accumulation, and the emergency fund, which is very crucial. Everybody says you should have like 3 to 6 months of income set aside for that emergency that may come about. And then estate preservation, you know, to preserve what you have. Make sure that what you have in your estate goes down to your children. You don't want to be in a position like some of these entertainers where they didn't have a trust or whatever it is, and 40% of their assets go right into probate. You know, it is a real sad situation. If you ever want to research someone that had that happen to him, you look under the singer by the name of Prince. He passed on 5 years ago, and they're still fighting for his for the remaining amount of money he had in his estate. So you want to make sure you're taking care of your estate accordingly. Along with that, everyone should have in place a life insurance policy. I stress that a lot of people stress that it's so important. You're dealing with protection above and beyond that would have like money coming in on a daily basis. The first type of that I want to discuss is term life insurance policy. It's a life insurance policy that provides coverage at a fixed rate of payment upon the death of the policyholder. It is temporary, a low cost, which is a good thing, but unfortunately it doesn't have any future cash value. Most employers carry this type of a policy for their employees. However, once you leave that employment, that policy stays with the employer or just goes back into the system or whatever it is, or it's used to another type of policy for somebody else. The next type of insurance would be called whole life insurance policy. This benefit lasts for the life of the policyholder, and usually it doesn't go up in value because once you get into it, you have a set amount of money you're paying off all the time. No matter how long the employee works for, a whole life policy has a savings component that can build cash value over the years. Even though more expensive than term, it has the saving component as cash value is really an essential plan to have for any couple or any individual in the future. The next policy I wanted to kind of just highlight would be called an IUL, which is Index Universal Life Insurance Policy. The beautiful thing about the IUL is that it is not only a death benefit, but you can access the money yourself, and you may be able to attach a long-term care to it as a rider. If you need money for medical expenses in the future, you can borrow on this policy, and everything you get is tax-free. It also acts as a savings account that can build at a higher interest rate than you would get normally in most institutions. You know, when I look, my dad often said, you know, and he was into the protection mode of his family, and he did that in so many areas. And when I look at it, it's just like, you know, you either can take care of it now, like you would take care of a car, or you can wait until later on, and then the expenses you would have later on will be just astronomical. So you want to just go ahead and take care of it now while you can, at any given age. It doesn't matter. Jump in when you can. Some people that are like over 50, maybe even 60, can still consider these things because it's going to protect you for the rest of your life accordingly. I always encourage my clients to take out a permanent life insurance policy if they are comfortable to do so. Some people aren't. That will limit the increases of insurance costs as the policyholder gets older. If they can't, then they should at least purchase a term policy. The term life insurance, have some type of coverage in place. We're living in a time, as we all know, Tammy, regarding COVID, people dying, auto accidents. I mean, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. So it's so important to protect your family and protect the future. I think all our panelists were kind of like adamant in regards to that protection concept. Just in closing, you know, that's kind of basically what I have to say. But once again, my name is Gary Kodimer. And if anybody has a need to discuss the information that I've presented in part one or part two, I can be reached at 818-470-4913. That's 818-470-4913. And my email is gkodimer@yahoo.com. That's gkodimer@yahoo.com. Remember, it is important to make sure that all your financial questions are answered by any one of the panelists without any pressure. And I'm sure they all feel the same way. We want to make sure that we are full disclosure and giving people the information. Tammy brought us on this program for that reason, because she knows that we're not you know, we're not out there hunting. You know, we're just trying to offer our assistance to everybody. Basically, a lot of times it's because of what we've seen or what we would have done or our experiences or, you know, having issues and so forth. If anyone has relatives or friends that may need some advice as well, they can contact me on the areas I've discussed as well. That's it, Tammy. That's all I have to say for tonight.
That's awesome, Gary. You were fantastic. You always have great things to say and definitely speak from the heart and experiences. And me kind of being one leg up and knowing your situation and your story of why you do what you do, I really respect and appreciate you taking the time to be on the show and just express the importance in touching, you know, on all subjects. But definitely I will be posting how to get in contact with you on my social media after the show. Well, actually tomorrow I'll be doing that. So it'll be available to everybody so they can contact you. But I definitely appreciate the time that you took tonight to be on the show. And look forward to seeing your blog up on my platform, which I'll get to at the end of the show. You take care, and we will talk soon.
Thank you so kindly. Have a pleasant evening.
You got it. You too. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. All right. There you have it. So much coverage tonight on different strategies on how to save, how to be wise with your money, how to be smart with your money in terms of saving, in terms of retirement, in terms of even emergency funds. Who thinks of those things? Well, you never think about those things usually until you're in it, you know, and then you're scrambling and you're doing garage sales, selling your goods of the things that you work so hard for, right? So it's important to really hone in on the ideas that are coming across tonight. And with that, I want to introduce our final guest tonight who is new to this show. She was not on the first, on the part one, but she is here on the part two. We're so happy to have her tonight. She's a financial advisor. She's been a financial advisor for a very long time. She helps families protect themselves financially by education, right? She educates them on things like long-term care benefits, index accounts, and gambling with retirement. Mm-hmm. It is my honor and privilege to introduce to you tonight my friend and colleague, Ms. Cheryl T. Fox. Hey, Cheryl, you are live tonight. How are you doing?
I'm great, Tammy. Thank you for having me tonight. I appreciate being on here with all your other wonderful guests. And what's so refreshing is that you actually have a panel of people who really care about educating people out there. So I love being a part of that because that's where I come from. I am passionate about educating people because I feel that if you have the education, you're able to make smarter decisions with your financial future. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Could not agree more.
So perfect. You know, a lot of times I sit with people and sometimes people will say, oh, I'm good, or, you know, I think it's too expensive. And I want people to realize that it really isn't too expensive. A lot of times people are saving in different accounts, and I know Gary touched on some of these accounts, and, you know, the big difference that I see is somebody says they're good because they got insurance a long time ago. But what happens? You think you're good, you put that policy in a drawer, and you forget about it. Well, what I have found after speaking to people, asking them to do a little homework, pull it out, let's figure out what you have, make sure it's the best thing for your family. And unfortunately, there has been quite a few times where somebody realized, oh, my insurance lapsed. I no longer have it. Oh, my term expired, and I don't have that anymore. Or they say I have a whole life insurance, which is great. At least they're covered. But when someone starts to understand that a whole life, even though you have cash and you have death benefit, that insurance company is taking some of the risk off by them keeping the cash. So, for example, Tammy, if you have a $100,000 policy and you go ahead and put $50,000 of cash into that policy, and then all of a sudden, God forbid, the way your family will only get that $100,000. That $50,000 will stay in with the insurance company. So most people don't understand that, and when they do, they get very upset. The other thing is a lot of those other products are barely keeping up with inflation, and that's a problem because inflation is running at 3 to 4%. So it's great that you might have coverage and that you have something, and I commend you on that because you're covering your family. But, you know, just like the phone, you know, you wouldn't still have a flip phone with all the technology that's out today. You know, your life changes, and so should your life insurance. And just, another quick, story is the people that, I'm sorry, I just lost my thought, but then
no worries.
People go, you know, having the newest insurance today, which is the Index Universal Life Insurance. So what's great about this, Tammy, is I have people say to me, Cheryl, I have no life insurance, I have no retirement, I have no savings, long-term care disability. What should I put my money into? And luckily, with these IULs, you can fill all those buckets for a very comfortable amount a month. And like everyone said, you know, save. If you can't save, you know, 20%, say 10 or 5%. And if you had put this into an account like that, you're able to cover that long-term care. You're able to build up cash accumulation that's tax-free that you can use for whatever you choose. And, you know, just a quick example of somebody I was working with just the other day, a young couple, and they're saving a nice amount of money, you know, $575 a month. But by the time they're 65, they would have put in maybe $269,000. They'll have over $851,000 cash, and their death benefit grew from $500,000 to over $1.3 million. So what that means is that if they decide at 75 years old, maybe they want to take retirement out of this account, they could take out $56,975 a year to 100. So now they took out just under $1 million. They only put into this $269,000, and on top of that, they're leaving a legacy for their family. Cash value of $3 million, over $3 million, and a death benefit of $3 million. So this is how the wealthy leave legacies for their family. Because when you start young, that compound interest keeps working and growing, and it's just beautiful. I love working with 20- and 30-year-olds because you can literally help them have $1 million of income during retirement, as well as leaving millions for their family. And what I love also is, you know, long-term care is super important, Tammy. And 70% of people are going to need it sometime over 65. And only 8% of people right now have long-term care. So we are seeing people go bankrupt, losing all their assets because they haven't leveraged an insurance company for this need. So what's great is it doesn't cost a lot to add that on and to leverage that insurance company, because I have another person that I know, him and his wife, they made a terrific living. They were very, very wealthy. In fact, he thought he was so wealthy that he considered himself self-insured. And there's a lot of wealthy people who believe that too. But his wife got cancer, and he then got sick, and they went through all of their assets. And then he had to live in an old age home, sharing a room. And just to think of the cost, if you share a room in a nursing facility, it's about $82,000 a year. And the average stay is about 3.9 years. So, you know, you're looking at about $320,000 for that cost. which asset are you going to use? And I just want to put out there to your listeners, you guys can go to Genworth Cost of Care. And it's a great little life expectancy where it asks you questions, and based on your answers, it gives you an idea of how long you will live and how many, you know, how much money you need to prepare to live that length of time, whatever it might be. So if you can't do two things, if you can't bathe or dress or toilet or eating, transferring, incontinence, if two of those things, you will need long-term care. So what's great is there's riders that don't cost a lot, but sometimes people might want a standalone. There are a couple policies. There are where you can get paid for a certain amount of years, or there are lifetime long-term care policies out there. There's return of premium. So there's a lot of options out there, and how I help people find that right option is sitting with them and, like the others, you know, doing a financial needs analysis, finding out what's important, seeing the health background and what we're looking at. So that's really important, and I think that's a great idea to check out first the cost on Genworth Cost of Care. It will tell you the cost. And then you can do the life expectancy, which is blueprintincome.com. And that will give you the idea of how long you need to prepare for your future. So, and just so you have an idea, a lot of these times the long-term care could be based on 2%, 4%. There's some companies that have increasing. All I'm saying for anybody who's listening, this is something you want to think of now while you're healthy and young, because the cost of this, as you get older, gets very expensive. So just to share a little bit more on index accounts, I know you wanted me to talk on some of the index. And, of course, the IUL is in an index account. And the nice thing about that is you have safety, you have growth, it outpaces inflation. And besides doing life insurance in an index account, I help a lot of people secure their retirement. Because if the safety of your money is important, I'm sure you don't want to cross your fingers at retirement, right? I know I don't want to cross my fingers. I don't like to be
young.
So what's awesome
not at all,
is,
not at all. Absolutely not.
Right? So I'm, you know, I'm kind of concerned for people who are in 401s and IRAs and stocks and mutual funds that are in the market, because our market is doing some crazy things. And I think that we're going to see a lot more. I'm afraid people are going to lose a lot of the retirement, because, Tammy, I have a couple of friends that they worked, they didn't have kids, they both had fantastic jobs, so they retired early, and they were living a great lifestyle off of their retirement. It was all in a 401, and they come out here to California for 2 weeks, Hawaii for 2 weeks, living a great life. But when that crash happened in 2009, they lost half their retirement. They're no longer traveling. And just to give you an idea, if you lose 50% in the stock market, it takes 100% gain to recoup. Now, if you're in your 20s and 30s, you have time to recoup. But if you're getting ready to retire, you don't want to gamble with that. So we have ways where we can move it into a personal pension plan, where there's guarantee principle, it locks in the gains, it's tax deferred, it avoids probate, and a lot of them have no fees or very limited fees, and there's guaranteed income for life. Some actually give bonuses as well. And Tammy, I have seen a few people that were so fortunate to get the lifetime income. You pay a little bit of fee to have that, but they would have run out of income if they didn't have that extra rider in there. And because of that rider, it will pay them forever. And one other thing that I just want your listeners to hear, say you worked for a company for 30, 40 years or more, and you have a pension with that company. What happens when you're ready to retire, the company will send a letter usually saying you can have X amount of dollars. If you include your spouse, it will be X amount of dollars. And once you sign off on that, that's it. You will get those funds and that's it. And after your wife or significant other passes away, boom. Well, I had a situation where this woman, she didn't know. She signed off on that. She was a single lady, but she had kids. And the problem is 8 months after retirement, she ended up dying unexpectedly. And all of that money that she had built up in that company stays with the company, and her family doesn't get it. And it's, what happens is right before you're ready to retire, when you get that letter, you want to say to your company, I'd like one lump sum. Give me the number of one lump sum, and then put it into a personal pension, because these personal pensions are outpacing inflation. And the way they have been averaging about 5 to 6%, these guaranteed ones, if you take out 5% every year, you're never going to run out of that money. And then when the time comes, it can actually be passed on to your beneficiaries. So it's very important to look at these things. And it costs nothing to review it. All of us are very passionate about educating people and reviewing what you have in place to make sure. I had another lady who thought she was good, and all of a sudden her husband unexpectedly passed away, had a heart attack. And I had been trying to review her policies, but she thought she was good. Anyway, she calls me. She said, Cheryl, I don't know, maybe you can help me. I'm not getting the money from the insurance company. I don't know what's going on. And when I reviewed the policy, it turned out it was accidental only. And that's why she didn't get the funds. And if she had only took a little bit of time to have someone review what's in place, she wouldn't have been having to sell her house and disrupt her whole life. So, you know, life insurance has definitely evolved. And just for people who can't afford a permanent, like he was talking about the term, you buy for a certain amount of time, what's awesome today is there's term with living benefits. So it's an inexpensive way to get yourself covered. And God forbid, if something chronic, critical, or terminal happened, you would be able to take 2% of that death benefit. So don't think it's too much money. Look into it. Make sure your family is covered. It's the most important thing that you can do. So if you'd like to get in touch with me, I'd be happy to look at what you have. I love helping people secure their funds and outpace inflation. And again, I'm just bringing awareness to the people who are overlooked by the financial industry, bringing that Wall Street to Main Street. So I thank you for allowing me to be part of your group tonight, and I hope that everyone learned something.
You have been amazing tonight. And always great to hear from you. You always have, like, positivity to bring to the table. Like, you are such a great speaker and, you know, very good on the ears, because you know what? You're so right. Like, so many people do not plan for those things that happen, those incidentals that happen. And then, like you said, like your friend that didn't plan, you know, life happens and now no one gets that money. You know, no one, the family doesn't get anything to be able to live off of. And then it puts the family in a financial hardship. that is definitely something that we don't want to do as mothers, as fathers. You know, we're getting close to Mother's Day, which by the way, happy early Mother's Day, Cheryl.
You and Sue.
Thank you. You know, we want to be able to leave that legacy for our children, right? And
exactly.
That is so important, you know, to protect our money. And even like Gary was saying, you know, Prince, Gladys Knight. I mean, there's so many different folks out there that did not plan right because, you know what, some people just don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And if you're not educated and choose to educate yourself because you're not going to learn this in school. Teachers are forced to teach standards, and they are in happy Teacher Appreciation Day to all the teachers out there that are listening. You know, it is hard, and this year has been so challenging for teachers with teaching online and then, you know, 30 days left of school, and then you got to plan a whole curriculum in the classroom. It's been crazy for teachers out there, and you know what I'm saying? And it's like we're not taught this in school, not because teachers don't want to teach it. It's just there's so much curriculum that has to be jammed down, you know, students' throats, lack of better words, you know, that they have to teach. You know what I'm saying?
I really want to be an advocate to get it into the high schools. I really believe it's a disservice to our children. Listen, we have to deal with insurance, taxes, our whole life, how money works. Nobody knows it. And that's why I am seeing a lot of baby boomers not prepared. And that's why I love working with 20 and 30-year-olds because I feel like we have the opportunity to change this next generation where we're going to teach them how the wealthy left those legacies. And like this young couple I'm working with, when I work with these young couples, it's so powerful what you can do today. And unfortunately, most people will spend hours, months planning a wedding, but their financial future, maybe they sit down with somebody for an hour, which is the most important thing because if you're going towards a target and you have that arrow, you want to know where that target is so you can hit it. Boom. But if you're just, you know, crossing your fingers and hoping and wishing, you're never going to get there. I mean, one lady I spoke to, she's 65. I said, when do you want to retire? Oh, she was 63. When do you want to retire? 65. She had no savings. And I mean, if she thinks Social Security is going to work. So I don't know what people are thinking. That's why it's so important. I think the generation before us, of course, they had the pensions. It was a lot different. And I think then there was a whole generation of people that just were hoping and wishing. So I really believe with the kind of people that were on your show tonight, I know some of them personally, and with myself and the people I'm around, we have a mission to educate as many people as we can. And for your listeners, please reach out to somebody tonight. Just to see that you have the best thing out there for your family and you're on track to be able to live 20 or 30 years in retirement without having to worry. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be amazing. I mean, just, you know, I prayed before the show that somebody, that we would reach somebody out there that would really be listening and to help them financially because, you know, that is a huge and that's why I brought this whole show to light is because my entire premise of my platform is health. And, you know, financial health is equally a part of social, mental, physical. I mean, it's all relative because if you're not financially healthy, it's going to affect your stress levels and it may affect other things, right? So your financial health is just as equal as anything else.
Right? And what's the point of having a lot of money if you're not healthy enough to use it and enjoy your retirement?
Seriously, right? I always thought it was backwards. It's like we retire. I mean, I thought about that, Cheryl. And the thing is like, it's like we retire, like we work our rear end off our entire life
then we retire, and it's like we want to be able to enjoy that time to do the things that we've always been passionate about and that don't necessarily bring us money but bring us joy, right? And so
exactly.
When you retire, you want to be financially set so that you don't have to worry about anything. You can enjoy the grandkids. You can take that vacation, you know. But if you're stressed your entire life with your job, with your situation, with your financial situation, then how are you going to enjoy life when you retire? Or are you ever going to be able to retire? You know, I work with seniors, and I see some people working, you know, in their 80s, 90s. I mean, heaven
right?
forbid. I mean, that's a long time. And, you know, and kudos to those that are able to do so. But don't you want to kind of take a break and just enjoy the goals, that bucket list that you've always, you know, waited to check off? You know I do. And so I think this is why this show is really important. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be on this show tonight. I want to ask you one last question. How can people contact you if they have any more questions or want to set up, you know, to diversify their portfolio or just ask questions about, you know, their financial needs?
Sure. So it's my number. So it's Cheryl Fox, CHERYLFOX. The phone number is 818-458-7719. My email is the number one, CherylFox@gmail.com. I will never give anyone a bill that comes to sit with me. I am mission-driven to get this word out there. I get paid by the big companies that I'm able to help people with, but really it's about the mission, and you'll never have to worry about getting a bill from me because everything I do for you will be to help you better off, care of me, and that's one of the things I really love as well, not having to take any money and be able to help my clients be better financially situated.
Well, I thank you so much for your education and your time. I'm going to go ahead and put your information on my social media along with the other amazing experts tonight. I thank you again for being on my show. Always a pleasure in talking to you. And I look forward to seeing you at our normal networking events that we always see each other running into each other at Burbank Chamber. I miss all of that, and I can't wait to get back into whatever this new norm is. And
right.
See everybody in person, right? I thank you so much, and enjoy your Mother's Day weekend, and we will talk soon, my friend.
Thank you, Tammy. You too. Have a wonderful Mother's Day. Stay safe.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, everybody, it has been an awesome pleasure tonight to be able to share these amazing experts with you all. We're coming to an end of the Miss Tammy's TKO radio show for tonight. If you're not following me on social media, please do at Reese119, that's R-E-E-S-E 119, or you can go to my TikTok. I now have a TikTok. Oh, my goodness. My daughter talked me into it. My producer talked me into it, so I went ahead and gave in to this TikTok. But, hey, I'm loving it. It's actually a lot of fun. TikTok and Twitter. You can find me at TKO Tammy. That's TKOTAMI. And my next show will be on Thursday, May 20th. Stay tuned for more information about that. I am going to close the show. Well, you know what? We're kind of running out of time, but I may be able to give you these 10 financial tips. Otherwise, I'll give you as many as I can before the show ends in 5 minutes that I have personally written. And some that our financial professionals have actually shared with us tonight. If you want to download what I'm about to present, you can check out my website of blogs at www.ewaterradio.net/ TAMI.htm. I will actually put that on my social media as well.
Thank you, Ed Waterford and Paul, for the TikTok lessons last weekend and for allowing me this wonderful platform to share healthy ideas and advice for myself, an expert guest. I want everyone to have an amazing evening, but before you go, I'm going to go ahead and read my 10 financial health tips just as a takeaway. Number one, spend less than you earn, all right? Save every opportunity after your bills and plan for your future retirement, right? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Diversify your portfolio. Do not just put everything into one, right? Diversify your portfolio. You may want to work with all of the financial experts tonight. That would be a blessing. You know, cross-reference the information that you have tonight. Get to know these experts and figure out what's right for you. Number three, pay down your highest debt first. Actually, you know what? I want to rephrase that. I really think that you should pay off your lowest first. Like Marina said in the first show, and like Evan said tonight, pay off your, you know, it's good to celebrate those little successes that you have, right? So pay down that small debt really quick. Yay, you did it. Then pay off the biggest ones, right? Have hire a professional to help guide you on how to save or grow your money. I'm not talking about a plant, right? Watering a plant and watching a money tree grow, although that would be amazing. I'm talking about putting it into an account that will grow very successfully. You got to talk to the experts about that. Develop a household budget and set financial goals. That was discussed tonight. Invest in something that will appreciate, not depreciate. Unfortunately, I learned that at a funeral this year. Somebody had said that to me. They said, you know, I said, I always buy cars and then I sell them before I pay them off and then I get another one. And my friend is very wealthy and said, that is absolutely the wrong thing to do. You should be leasing because you should invest in things that appreciate, not depreciate. And I said, wow, I never even thought about that. I mean, that's critical. So we got to rethink some of the things that we're putting our money into, right? Invest in something. Oh, we already just said that. Create an emergency fund for incidentals that can drown out your savings and earnings. We talked about that tonight. Extremely important. Also, number eight, change your perspective. Have a new relationship with your money to view it differently. Make every dollar count. Chris really nailed that tonight, saying budget, 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 budget. I think everybody kind of reiterated on that. I liked what Evan said. He said, look, make your credit cards a line item. Absolutely, 100%. I do that. I think I encourage everybody else to do that because that is a bill, right? And then number nine, have a plan for long-term care and living trust. Long-term care, Cheryl hit it right perfectly, and Gary touched on that as well. A living trust, Gary touched on that in the first show. You want to go ahead and refer back to that first show because it's critical. Living trust is very important. Also, number 10, build and check your credit score annually. And I love what Evan said, and I'm actually going to do that. He said to go to build, I got to look at my notes, annualcreditreport.com. Get a free copy of your credit report. Always important to see if there's any crazy people out there that are trying to buy stuff on your dime and ruin your credit. Make sure you check that out, everybody. I definitely will. Y'all have a safe, blessed night. Stay healthy out there. And please wear your mask. It is not over. COVID is still here. Okay? COVID is still here. Let's be smart. Be wise. Let's protect one another. And share love out there and peace and be happy and prosper. All right. Take care, everybody. Without further ado, this is Miss Tammy's TKO Radio Show. Signing out. Have a wonderful night.